What's up, guys? Welcome back to episode 109 of the Double Bogey Show. Today in segment one, we talk about the best Golden Tee player in South Dakota. And then we come at you in segment two with everything simulator season related. We hope you guys enjoy the episode.
They pipe that the wrong way.
I'll call the clubhouse. We'll book another 18 for tomorrow.
Okay, they cheated on that. They fluffed their balls.
Yeah, no better time for the breakfast ball than now.
Okay, guys, we are back. Episode, what?
109. 97.
109. Every time I ask, that's the thing. Same thing happens at home. When I'm looking for something, all I have to do is ask, and I immediately find it right after.
Well, I ask, and then Becca has to get up and look, and then it appears.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I've even been looking for the ketchup. It's right in front of my face. For some odd reason, I just can't see it.
Yeah.
But if I ask my wife where the ketchup is, I'll see it directly immediately. So it's a weird thing. Same with podcast episodes. I don't know what fucking episode we're on yet, but if I ask, I'll remember right away.
So Mitch is your podcast wife? I thought I was your podcast wife.
Well, I mean, we can't keep a guy in the producer chair to save our lives. Well, hey, so
he's second like, week in a row or he, third.
Mitch is like our podcast side piece.
Kind of.
Comes and goes.
I'm here whenever you need me, but when things get serious and down to it, it's...
I just call me, beat me if you want to reach me.
Oh,
it's not beat.
Call me beep.
I thought you said beat me.
I thought you said beat.
Call me, beat me when you want to reach me.
Jesus. Well, no one, a lot of these Disney Channel shows probably is beat me.
Well,
some of those shows are dark.
Yeah. Kim Possible is not as dark as some, but yes.
Yeah. Kim Possible reminds me a lot of Tomb Raider.
Yeah. It's kids version, kids Bob Tomb Raider.
Tim Possible. They should come out as a side piece.
That's her kid.
Full time Tim.
When her and what's his name? Ronnie. Mm-hmm. Ronnie have a kid. They name him Tim Possible.
Yeah. Kim Possible is it's a big time Halloween costume for females.
It's easy. Just black shirt and cargo pants.
Cargo pants and maybe like a, I don't know if it's an ammo belt that they put around them. Yeah. Some sort of.
Every redhead in the world at some point has been Kim Possible for Halloween.
Correct.
That and the Little Mermaid.
And she was a smoke, too. When we were younger, she was an absolute smoke. A
couple cartoon crushes. Kim was up there.
Mm-hmm. Angelica from the Rugrats when I was like 5-6 years old.
Nope.
Angelica was 5-6 years old. Bitch, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, she was. She definitely was.
I hate Angelica.
Who else? Who else is... Sandy Cheeks, of course.
It's getting progressively worse.
Anyway.
furry territory.
We're back in the studio. Yep. We were out pheasant hunting this last weekend.
We were.
Left Thursday, hunted Friday, Saturday, came back Sunday. Yikes. It was a fucking grind, Tyler.
Yes.
When you are, I mean, you get there Thursday, you eat a little bit of food, you start drinking, right? 2 a.m., go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
You get up, you pheasant hunt, you shoot. What we shot, the first day we shot 78 birds.
78 birds amongst nine of us. And this is what do you call it? It's not a game farm.
Game preserve. Yep, game preserve.
So it's a 20 bird limit. So people before you start spazzing at us that it's a 2 bird limit or 3 bird limit or wherever it is where you're at, it's 20 birds. We did not decimate the population.
Yeah, no, we didn't. We were completely legal. Yes. And obviously the people running that show would not let that happen.
Yes.
78 birds the first day. After the last walk, crack your first beer at probably 1 or 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just continue out through the day.
Drink for 12 straight hours and then hit yourself in the morning.
2 a.m. hits, you go to bed.
Yes.
You wake up Saturday, you do the same exact thing.
Uh-huh.
3 a.m. hits, you go to bed. Sunday, you leave.
I don't want to... It's not me one-upping you.
Oh, that's fine.
But I was in South Dakota for 2 days before you came for the hunt. We were doing small-town bar tours. We were in actually the home of the Prince of Parmesan.
Yes.
We were in Yankton, South Dakota for one day.
Okay. Was it trash?
Mitch, plug your ears quick.
I'm kidding, Mitch.
Ears plugged.
It was a pretty nice town. I liked
it.
Yeah.
How many people? Like 4,000 or 5,000 or what?
Apparently 16.
Jesus, that's like double the size of my hometown.
Yeah, only 8 in town though, and 8 out of town. So like, but they're technically Yankton residents. Yes.
Sure.
Really enjoyed Yankton, but we burned the fucking whole state of South Dakota down 4 days in a row. We did it Tuesday, Wednesday before you guys showed up. Then we did it Thursday night before the hunt and then Friday night. And then I had a fucking wedding on Saturday because I left the hunt. You drank on Saturday in South Dakota. I had to go back to a wedding and then drink again. I hurt still. It is now Tuesday, November 1st, and I feel like ass still.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt like shit yesterday. Today, I'm kind of coming around probably at 75%. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow should be another 100% day. So
I hope so.
It bums me out that I can't go 100 the whole week afterwards. But again, it's a grind. And you know what I noticed too is when we were down Pheasant on, there's a bunch of, you know, there's probably four or five guys, like part of the reserve that came and hunted with us. If we weren't talking about Pheasant on, we were talking about golf.
Yep.
And what the correlation I found was, I would say a majority of hunters are also golfers in the summertime.
Especially here.
Yeah, big time.
We're like, golf courses are shutting down now. What do? You hunt.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like, we have our seasons, right? We have golf season, we have hunting season, we have ice fishing season, and then we have open water fishing season.
Yes.
So it's like a four season cycle throughout the Midwest of like hunting, fishing, or golf.
We should start our own four seasons hotel where you can fish at it, hunt at it, golf at it, and also ice fish at it somehow.
You have like a cold like biome for ice fishing.
Yeah. It's like a green, you know, opposite. You, everything's frozen, but then you have like a warm weather biome on the lake.
Yeah.
It's like aerated in one spot.
Okay.
So that'd be kind of sweet.
I've done it. My dad has that little lake.
Yeah.
And he aerates part of it, and I've gone on a boat. It doesn't work. All the fish are under the ice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a given.
But it's a good idea.
Yeah. That was one thing that surprised me a ton was I never put the correlation together between hunters and golfers because I feel like they're the same people.
Yeah, and I do genuinely believe that's probably only the case here. Like the golf destinations of the world, like the Floridas. And
no,
the
they're
Arizona.
Not. I'm talking Midwest specifically.
I think our people, you're right. You are 100% right.
Because again, it's seasonal here for us.
There is actually like half the courses we did tours on in Minnesota had visible deer stands either on them or very near to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure you could bear hunt, you could deer hunt right on the course.
I can almost guarantee that some of those stands are owned by the golf course and they are just using the golf course as hunting land in the off season.
Yeah, the only tough thing would be like, you know, if you stick one on like hole number three, par four, and then, you know, it runs up on the green and you're tracking it through the fairway onto the green.
That's easy tracking.
It is very easy tracking, but at the same time, you have to also find a place to gut that thing.
Yeah, just drag them off in the woods. You might find some balls too.
Yeah, make sure you don't do it. You make sure you don't do it in the in the fairway or any place near the course.
It is their course, so
they should open it up for season. They should have open season on golf courses. Like once the course is closed, you can pay a fee and come hunt on it.
Yeah.
I also feel like one of the best reasons that we're good at finding balls is because we are going to find birds, we're going to find deer, anything like that. There's a correlation there too.
Yeah, it's like you understand the tendencies of a deer. We also understand the tendencies of a golf ball.
Yeah.
We know where it's going to go in the woods, like we know where a deer is going to go in
Correct.
The woods.
And there's no tracking a golf ball. It leaves no remnants behind besides it's just white.
Yeah, you just take a peek at the woods and be like, well, there's a couple trees here and there's a slope here. I think there's going to be a whole pocket of balls right here. And you sure
and
shit,
you find them.
Kick some leaves over and there's six balls.
It's almost like how you'd pattern deer. You'd also pattern golf balls. Because I know there's a lot of guys out there like me that hit the nasty snap hook.
Yep.
And I know exactly how far that baby's going to go. bought a nasty snap hook.
Yep.
And I know exactly how far that baby's going to go. About 175 yards with about 50 yards of roll off of it, unless it hits a tree.
Yep.
So I thought another funny thing too. So we went to the small town bar in Plankinton, South Dakota, and you never know what you're going to find on the walls of a small town bar. One thing that was on the wall at this small town bar was the bar owner's scorecard from his best round of his life.
Which bar was this?
This is at the Plank Inn.
Okay.
So he literally...
I missed this.
You did?
Yeah, I did not see this.
I don't know where you would have been.
I was there right next to you.
It was a Friday. It was Friday night.
Yeah.
Anyways, you missed this.
I might have been gambling. I played a lot of video lottery in South Dakota this weekend.
So what happened here was this guy, he broke his ribs he said he broke his ribs the night before. He was playing softball. He went, decided to maybe go head first into second base, but then he wanted to go feet first. So it was like a head first, feet first, like I don't know what I'm doing right now type of slide. Said he cracked a rib or broke a rib or something like that. Well, he had league night the next night. Went out and shot a 39. on a par 36 9-hole course in South Dakota there. And best round of his life. He's like, fuck, I need to be fucking breaking more ribs here. Like, fucking best score of my life. Scorecard's up in the bar now.
Yeah, it made him a little more stiff. He had a straighter.
And I'll tell you what, like that scorecard stand, like it just doesn't. It doesn't go with the aesthetic mm-hmm. in that bar. But then again, what is the aesthetic in a small town bar?
There isn't one. It's randomness.
And that's why like more clubhouses in small towns should emulate the small town bar vibe.
Mm-hmm. There's a few courses I can think of like around the Elk River area. There's one in Princeton I'm thinking of specifically.
Well, I mean, Three Bears Clubhouse is literally at a bar.
That's true. That's you got to drive 2 miles down the road yes. to go pay, but yes. it is the bar. There's one in Princeton where the clubhouse is the local watering hole small town bar.
That's sick.
We're like, it's right upstairs on the deck, whatever is where you drink and stuff. And then you can pay yep. downstairs if you want to, but it's the bar.
Yep. I feel like if they had more of it, because who doesn't like drinking in a small town bar? When I got the
people I don't like.
Well, I got the taste. I don't really go to many small towns. I really have no reason to go to small town bars. We live in the middle of the city, mm-hmm. right? But when I do, It brings me such a good feeling. I'm like, God, mm-hmm. this is my type of people. This is the place I want to be at. I feel like if golf courses want to sell more booze, they need to emulate the small town bar vibe because
also you know, drop the prices because you can drink all night at a small town bar for $30.
$30.
Yep.
Eight guys drinking, you know, four, five, eight beers a piece, mm-hmm. gonna be like no more than $50. Mm-hmm. But I think the clubhouse vibe is a big thing on whether people want to stay after a round and drink or not.
Without a doubt.
Because if there's a lot of lighting and there's not many like flashing neon signs and the bar is a little too fancy, like, yeah, it can be fun for a little bit. But at the same time, like grunge that shit up a little bit.
I want some grit.
Yeah.
Some grit in my clubhouse.
I mean, you'll get that in small town Midwest.
Yep.
You'll definitely get that. And I feel like that's why these courses stay open. Is because they get the locals that are like, I can get exactly what I need at the golf course.
I like that. I'm with you 100%. We need a remodel.
Yeah.
Of the clubhouse. No more fancy clubhouse.
I mean, it's a huge determinant whether I'm going to stay or leave.
I want to pay for my bag of teas and my green fee at the bar top.
Yes.
I don't want a desk anymore.
Even if there was and I don't know how this would work logistically, if there was like a mini watering hole at the turn and the turn being like not at the, so they have your clubhouse, but then you also have like maybe a couple of shipping containers like stacked together or something, some sort of small little watering hole at the turn. So you can get your hot dog. You can belly up to the bar. You can have, you know, two, three beers and then hit number 10.
Well, I don't want to discount that idea, but they're doing that.
Where?
Leonard's doing that right now. That's why their bev carts out of commission. They're building those.
Building what?
Little watering holes.
On what holes?
They're building them on the far end of the course. I think it's that par three that's mm-hmm. about 160. They're building one there, and then they're building one by the porta potty grill.
No shit.
That's because that's like the hub of a bunch of holes meeting in one spot. Yeah, they're building them there.
That's fucking sweet. Uh-huh. And if you, I mean, they have a great bar the way it is, but if you can stop for one or two, like on hole number five, complete opposite end of the course, that is fucking sweet. Yep.
They're doing that there. And then Miles's course, I know it's a fancy course, but they have them there too.
Yep.
Like that vibe.
They have shacks.
Tone it down. Yeah. But then, Jesus Christ, Leonard is doing it.
That's why Leonard never ceases to drop down in the top 9-hole courses in our area.
Mm-hmm.
First course to open, last course to close. I mean, overnight it's 30-some degrees. They're still open.
I'm still getting emails about scrambles they have every weekend.
Yeah. And I don't know how they do it, but I mean, it still plays pretty pure. Mm-hmm. Plays pure for a 9-hole course in the middle mm-hmm. of nowhere. About all you need.
Yep.
Plus they're doing that type of shit. I mean, they know what they're doing.
Yep. Big, big fans. Shouts to you, Leonard, for doing everything we just said to do.
Yeah. Thank you.
They do have the small town bar inside, too.
They also have glow ball night,
yeah.
in which more courses need to start doing glow ball night. Because who doesn't want to go out at 9 p.m.?
You can go out at 7 now in glow balls work.
Yeah, you can go out at 7. Bundle up. Go out from 7 to 9. There's tee times. You got a glow ball. The flags are illuminated. Now, the only issue is I have never played goalball, which I'm very disappointed in myself for. I don't know, like, if it's not, if the moon's not out and you can't really see, how the fuck you know where you're going?
Yeah, you gotta,
There's no
time it out.
On the carts.
They should time it out with the full moon.
Or they could just put little, like the Snap glow sticks. They could kind of just light, like every 50 yards, just throw a couple of those.
Or like,
I'll still miss the fairway.
Put some high beams on the golf carts.
Yeah.
So then you can just shine them down the fairway. Maybe you have
like a light bar.
Reflectors down the side, so then you can see it that way.
Yep, like a light bar.
Yeah.
Have Christmas lights. I mean, there's a flagpole.
Yeah.
There's many things to make.
Then you gotta have an extension cord running across the green.
Yeah, you have literally a 3,000 foot extension cord, trying to just light the opposite end of the course up.
Yeah, they gotta go take out a small loan to afford extension cords to get to every hole.
But
from the clubhouse, they're all plugged into one little thing.
People are gonna pay it.
Yeah,
they're gonna pay it. Now you got a story. You got a story from the South Dakota trip that you wanted to share.
Yes, one of the it was the second night in South Dakota. Wednesday, we were in Freeman, South Dakota, at a bar called Hoots.
Morgan Freeman, South Dakota.
Morgan Freeman, South Dakota, at Hoots Bar and Grill. Hoots, cool bar. Not a big town. Freeman is teeny tiny.
Okay.
This bar is connected to City Hall.
Okay.
And the police station. Not next door. Connected.
Well, I mean, they're just making sure everyone gets home safe.
Yes.
Right. So, obviously, do not drink and drive.
Mm-hmm.
And odds are there's just going to be a cop car sitting outside.
Yes.
At all times.
It was we showed up. It's like, so we picked this bar because we always try to find something quirky with these small town bar tour things.
Yep.
And the quirky thing was that it's connected to City Hall. We're like, aha, the joke's going to be Miles is going to run for mayor and he has the City Hall meeting and he's going to Hoots Bar because it's connected. And then we show up and the fucking police station is in between the bar and City Hall.
Well, he's going to run for sheriff and for mayor.
Yeah, so he can run for, chief police. Chief
and he's going to buy the bar.
And he's going to buy the bar, yes.
Talk about real estate investment.
Mm-hmm. And then the cherry on top for all of this now is Hoots Bar is the home to the only PGA Golden Tee in the entire state of South Dakota.
No shit.
Yes.
I remember playing Golden Tee at like Godfather's.
Yep.
And places like that. I couldn't tell you the last time that I played it, honestly.
I'll let you know right now, it has come a long way.
Really?
Golden Tee.
They're still updating it?
Yes. It's brand new 2022 Golden Tee. And we played, so it was me, Jake, and Jared. And we were like, we obviously talked about it being the only one in South Dakota. And we mentioned it. We want to play to some random guys. And like, you got to wait until Hootie shows up.
Okay. Hootie and the Blowfish.
Just some old farmer named Hootie.
Okay.
His name is Hoot. Last initial E. Not Hootie.
No shit.
Yes. And so Hootie shows up and he's just this old, probably 65, 70 year old farmer. A little like kind of, you could tell this man's worked a lot in his life.
Yeah. Leather hands.
Yep. Leather hands. Kind of a, looks like he's maybe got some back issues.
Yep.
But good, good guy. Hootie knows his shit, right? So he goes up to this thing and I'm like, he's not putting any dollar bills in or anything, right? He pulls out a Golden Tee credit card.
They have player cards for Golden Tee?
Yes, a player card. He scans his player card. It shows up. He's got like $93 in his account. He's got a custom player. He's purchased tees and golf balls that he can use for his rounds and his rounds only. And I look at his best score of all time, minus 31 in 18 holes.
Holy what is the par on the? So the par is 72.
So he's shooting 30 or 41.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, this guy's going to beat our asses. And we had played around before him and like did fine or whatever.
Yeah.
But then Hootie shows up and then he's like,
dude, that's a 2.5 average per hole.
Mm-hmm.
That's an eagle and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's nuts.
Okay.
And he was talking, so he played with us and he absolutely destroyed us. We're like, well,
classic.
The first like 10 holes, I actually hung with him a little bit because I just copied him.
Okay.
Because he was in front of me and I just copied what he did and I played pretty dang good for the first few holes. And then the holes on Golden Tee, it's a video game, start to get a little weird and then I absolutely fell off. But he started talking to me about there are Golden Tee tournaments that people will drive around the country to go to and they can look at the hole. See where it is. They do a flyby and they measure the wind in their head. And then you can buy a grid for your tee.
Okay.
So you can move your tee in certain spots. right? So like for me and Jake, we had to just go center of the tee markers. Like mm-hmm. we weren't allowed to move it. But since he had bought tees off the Golden Tee website, he was allowed to move it on this grid. So he can look at it and he'd be like, all right, wind is from the southeast at 6 miles an hour. The hole is 30 feet downhill. All right, I need to go move my tee back 4.5 feet and then to the right 3.5 feet. And then if I hit this perfect angle on this golden, it'll go in. He would call his fucking shots.
How many hole-in-ones did he have?
With us, only one.
Only one. Even to get it on a video game is not easy.
But he eagled every par five, birdied every par four, Jesus. Birdied every par three, and hole-in-one, one par four.
That is unbelievable.
It was stupid.
So what's the tech? So, okay. Last time I played Golden Tee, all my fingertips are on the surface at one time. My thumbs go to the ball.
You use your thumbs?
So then I can load up and I can literally, and this is a bad audio visual, mm-hmm. But I can take my thumbs and slam them forward. Mm-hmm. You press down and you press out, and I feel like that gets me the most power. However, I'm dog shit at Golden Tee. So what's the strategy there for him?
The strat, and this is, he has a stance.
Okay.
So it's left arm up on the table, braced. Front foot forward next to the thing. Back foot behind the front foot. Looks like he's in like a finishing his bowling stance, right?
Yep.
And then he watches the ball in the backswing real slow. And then he'd load up, just one hand, swipe it back, load up, hand in the hip pocket, and then just punch his hand forward.
No shit.
Yeah. And he was like, so like an average one for him is 149 miles per hour. Hitting that ball.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And then I went up there and was like, I'm way younger than him. I'm going to hammer. This is the best I could get.
160 ball speed.
151 was the best I could get.
Jesus.
And he's just says, oh. And the reason I know he's got back issues is because he told me that he rolled his truck one time and then just crawled out, walked home, and never went to the
Jesus.
Doctor. So for that old God. Man with some back issues.
Yep.
To absolutely crushed the ball in Golden Tee and just be an ace blew my fucking mind.
Why is he not hustling people at the Golden Tee?
And that's just it.
Game.
He was so nice about it. He tried to teach us so much extra stuff. And like, this was the one of the few times where I'm like, give me all the advice.
Yeah.
Cause like, this isn't affecting my life in any way. Like regular golf would give me all the advice you can, Hootie. Like I'll take it. And it helped obviously. But he was talking about these tournaments. He gets his ass kicked at him.
Really?
Yeah. He said there are guys that go out there that will win 100, 200 grand a year just going to Golden Tee tournaments.
Holy crap.
Does Golden Tee have like a social media page?
I'm sure.
Keep talking. I'm going to look it up real quick.
Yeah. But so since this is the only one in South Dakota, it has a cult following. Hootie is the best. Hootie is the best in Freeman, South Dakota. So he is... By transitive property, the best in the entire state.
Number one player in South Dakota.
He is the number one player in South Dakota, but it has a cult following in this bar. Every single person there knew Hootie and could tell me what their handicap is on Golden Tee.
Wow.
They all play it. They're all good at it. Hootie's just the best.
Huh.
Oh, now, and the putting? Dude, the putting is super touchy. He didn't miss shit. You'd look at him and then you could see the angle of the putt. And then he knew which way he needed to roll the ball just by doing a math equation in his head. He'd be automatic. And there's no like blasting it over the hole. Like if you hit the hole, it just goes in no matter what.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So it was like full speed every time. Just in. And then we were in Freeman until 1 o'clock in the morning. Because we finished the video and Miles wanted a drink. So we drank. And me and Jake only played one game with Hootie, but we were watching him play. He played until about midnight. And
he's by himself?
No, with another buddy.
Okay. How good was the other buddy?
Much better than Jake and I, but not as good as Hootie.
Yep.
And we saw him miss a putt, and he smacked the table. He's like, fuck!
No way.
He was tuned up. So.
Oh, yeah.
It was great. It was a ton of fun. I'm a big Golden Tee guy now. It may or may not replace Buck Hunter for me at the bar if I see it.
I was just going to ask that. Big Buck Hunter or Golden Tee is the golden question
here's
at Small Town Bar.
Here's the problem. Golden Tee's $4 for 18 holes.
You're Buck playing Hunt. 18, though.
But you're also at a Small Town Bar that probably only takes cash. So odds are you have cash on you.
Yes. Unless you have a Golden Tee player card.
Unless you got the player card. And I'll tell you what, that player card,
it has an
has
app
seen
too.
Some shit in his life.
That's where he purchases his tees and stuff.
Okay, that makes sense.
He goes into the app and like he can download stuff. He made me get the app, so I have an app and an account now, and I have a pin. And
really,
you know,
yeah, I just looked it up. They have like 20,000 followers.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know you could win. I didn't know like that was such a thing.
Yeah, so I guess the way you win money, it'll be like a group of four. Everybody puts in $100. First place just takes it all. And you do that a bunch of times. Hmm. And then it's like pool play. And then I think they put you in a bracket or something.
Yeah.
And then you do you play in this bracket determining on how you did in pool play. And then you win a shit ton of money. But just think, you play 18 holes in Golden Tee, especially with guys that good. You can get a round done in 30 minutes. You win $100 every 30 minutes playing Golden Tee if you're the best there. That shit adds up pretty quick.
That's a full-time job.
You play right for there. You play for 6 hours. It's a lot of fucking money.
Does it go onto the player card or does it go... They play for cash.
You get the cash. Okay. But then they spend some of their winnings on getting the better tees and clubs. And his... Hootie's dude was actually a chick. He was playing as a chick.
Oh, really?
Had an American flag, like, luchador mask.
Yeah.
And then just like fully decked out in American flag gear, cowboy boots and the whole nine.
Yeah, I mean, he couldn't be more American.
Yeah, and then like fluorescent purple clubs. And then it's just wow.
He was probably sitting at home or sitting in the combine or something, just drawing that player out. He's like, here's exactly what I want this person to look
like. That's exactly it. He's like, yeah, well, I mean, my combine drives itself, so...
Yeah, I mean, he's on the app playing it, probably.
It was funny. He got so many jokes. Like, you finished Harvest? You're in your plane. You shouldn't be in your plane. Are you done Harvest? He's like, yeah, I finished yesterday. Leave me alone.
Doesn't want to be bothered by anybody. Say your hellos when he walks in. What does he drink?
Whiskey Sevens.
I'm sure every single night.
No, he was drinking beer right away, actually.
Okay.
I don't know. Either way, old man was tuned up at the end of the night. He was having fun. Great, great vibes from Hootie. Could not be a bigger fan. And
does he play actual golf?
No, not anymore. His back hurts.
Interesting.
Bad.
Why? I mean, teach him the old, like, get him and Grandpa Dave in the same room, and I'm sure we could get Hootie out on the course in no time.
Well, also, he said he got into this because he was a musician. So he'd farm and then go play music. And then when he was done playing music, he just played Golden Tee the rest of the night.
That sounds like such a dope life.
Yeah. It's just such. Such a random combination. Like, yeah, I'm a old farmer, but I also am in a band and I also love Golden Tee. Like, those are just if it's two truths and a lie, I'm like, they're all lies.
When was the first time you played Golden Tee? Do you know, back in 1962?
No, I didn't ask. But if anyone sees Hootie in Freeman, South Dakota, tell him the Breakfast Ball Boys say hi, and you are a legend in the Golden Tee community, sir.
That is wild. That's the type of thing where it's like, how do you get addicted to something like that?
I don't know.
Like, I'm sure some people are like that with Big Buck Hunter.
Yep.
But Big Buck Hunter is such a quick burn where it's like, all right, you play your whatever it is, six rounds, and then you're done.
Yep.
And then you put in another buck. You get your bonus game at the end, and you go on from there.
And I'll play maybe two games, and I'm like, all right,
you're done.
I'm over Buck Hunter now.
But how long does it take to play 18 holes of Golden Tee?
If you're quick, about half hour.
That ain't
well,
bad.
Well, if you have four dudes,
yeah,
about a half hour. But if like it was me and Jake just played by ourselves, and we're worse, and we tried to do some stupid shots that he would have been able to pull off, but we couldn't. So then we get stuck in rocks, and it'd be three or four or five shots to get out.
Sure.
It took us about 20 minutes, the two of us. But then when you added Hootie and we got better because of it, it was still 20 minutes, even though it was three people.
That's cool that he let you guys play with him.
Yeah, he wanted to play with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure now he's at a point where he just needs to pass his knowledge down to whoever he can.
Yeah, and I got it now.
He's kind of like Bobby Fischer in the chess world.
I don't know who that is.
Bobby Fischer. Where is he? I don't know. Wasn't that a Disney, Nickelodeon?
I'm sorry to derail this. I don't know.
What's the Amanda Bynes show on
All That?
Disney? I think it was in All That. I don't fucking know.
That was Nickelodeon.
Anyway, Bobby Fischer is a legendary chess player.
Huh.
And it sounds like Hootie and the Blowfish is a legendary Golden Tee guy.
He is. He is a legend.
We got to get him out on the court. We got to get that back in shape. Maybe get him a massage or two. Well, if farming doesn't work out, then he's always got Golden Tee tournaments to fall back on.
Well, no, he gets his ass kicked out of me.
I know, but if he's not farming, he's got more time to play.
True. True.
Get better tees.
He's got to get that ball speed up, though. He's got to said he's got to get it to 155 if he wants to compete.
The fact that he knows that is impressive. Like, just like if he's doing equations and like breaking shit down like that, that's
well. And the equation thing is instant. Like he sees the angle. He see look, especially putting. He sees the angle of the lie, and he sees the downward slope of the green, and then he just looks at his trackpad because the ball, like there's arrows and shit on the ball that determine. So he just knows, like, all right, for every 1 foot of left to right, I need to go a half a click to the left on the trackpad.
That
and then
is
he just looks at it. And first advice he told me is that when you're putting, the ball is down here, not the screen. Don't look at the screen when you putt.
Yeah.
Look at the ball.
Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. Keep your head down, folks.
Mm-hmm. Even in golden tee. Keep your head down.
That is wild.
Yep.
I hope I get to meet Hootie and the Blowfish one day.
I hope you do too.
Because I'd like to take him on in a game of golden tee. No money on the line though. I just want
to No. If you do, have him give you some strokes, like a lot. And if he's going to be like, "Oh, I'll give you five." You're like, "No, I want 20."
I'd have to have at least 20 or 25. Mm-hmm. If he's going 31 under, I mean, that's his best score, but
yeah, when we played with him, he was a little frustrated. And he was like 26 under, 27.
Holy smokes.
Yep.
Jeez.
Okay. Well, that's the new play. Next time I go, like lake bars, anything like that, I'm gonna petition for golden tea at these places to replace Big Buck Hunter.
Well, if you are at Freeman, South Dakota, it'll be there.
That's sweet. I wonder how much that machine has made over the years.
With Hootie alone, he told me he spends about $200 a month on it.
Does he put it into the app or does he put it into the machine though?
He puts it into the app, but then the app pays the machine.
Gotcha.
So, like, the bar's still getting paid out.
Sure.
Yeah, he spends about $200 a month on golden tea at that bar.
He's got to be 51% owner by this time of that bar.
The bar, most places are like, do I really want to drop $5,000 on this machine? And then Hootie rolls in. They're like, yeah, we will drop $10,000 on this machine. We'll get it back in a year.
Yeah.
I'm sure money and more.
Yep.
That type of machine, like you got to break it in a little bit too. Uh-huh. You got to get the spin going. And that's sweet. We should maybe get a golden tee game here.
Hook it up to the sim?
Well, it's got to. I mean, I suppose you could do that.
I wonder, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I guess.
Put the screen itself, like running through the PC onto this projector and still like have the game right there.
We have so many fucking options of this sim. We can play real golf, we can play PGA, you can watch TV, you can do whatever.
Yeah.
So, okay. Wow. Freeman, South Dakota. Ask for a guy named Hootie. See where he's at.
Yep.
Might be in the combine. If he's not, take notes.
Yes.
Bring a notepad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about everything simulator season.
Yep.
And I'll leave it at that. All right, guys. Of course, it's simulator season officially. I don't know. There might be one or two courses left open in the area, but our minds are elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Our minds are within those three walls, those three canvas walls with a projector, a PC, and your golf bag.
Yes. You want to know something that I saw yesterday, Ryan, that got me even...
I would love to know something that you saw yesterday that got you even...
More excited about the simulator?
More excited about the simulator.
We had a little Halloween thing at the office yesterday. All the kiddos, all the people with kids brought them to the office. They got to like bounce around the desks and do a little trick-or-treating.
Sure.
You know where my kid went to?
Where?
Right away. The simulator.
No shit.
He skipped the candy and just, in his costume, beeline to the simulator. And that got me excited as dad. Like, my kid doesn't give a shit about Reese's right now. He wants to go hit golf balls.
Ooh.
And he couldn't get a club out of the bag, so you know what he did anyway? He just kicked golf balls at the screen.
No shit.
Or threw golf balls at the screen. So he's ready. This winter, I will be in the simulator with my kid. We'll play, since the simulator that Carl hooked us up with, you can play any course in the world, including ones you've made. I will be making a course that fits for my two-year-old to play on. And we'll be able to play that together, and it's going to be an absolute blast this winter.
Done deal.
One more year, and then your little guy will be there too. Then we just bring our kids, and we could just have dad's weekend.
Dad's at the sim.
Dad's at the sim.
I'm a
good idea.
Yeah, I mean, guys, we keep telling you, it is officially sim season. I would almost guarantee if you went on and you built your own simulator, you talked to their customer service, they hook you up with the best option for your space, you'd have that baby in 2 to 3 weeks.
Yep.
And sometimes it's good to take 2 to 3 weeks off your golf swing.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 to 3 weeks, relax, wait for your sim to come, set it up, get your winter golf league going with your buddies, get it all decked out, because I guarantee, you know, wintertime in the Midwest is tough, but when you have something to always go to, the weather's not going to impede it. The wife and kids aren't going to impede it because you're still at home. It's going to be the best option for you to still get them swings in the winter. So promo code double bogey, 10% off enclosures, launch monitors,
all the big stuff.
We got the hookup for you. And when you start to, you know, you start to get that balance up a little bit, that 10% helps a lot. So promo code double bogey at carloffet.com, CarlOffet.com. Go build your own simulator and get that shit going.
Mm-hmm.
All right. With that being said, we're talking everything simulators today. Yep. Because it's now time. My mind has been on off of the game of golf for a while. I think it's good to just get a good refresher.
A break. It's off season. Yep.
Because I'll tell you what, in midsummer, that's literally the only thing I can think about. I'm dreaming about my swing. I'm dreaming about that layup shot on that par five that you know, could have put me in a good position for eagle, but it didn't. I'm thinking about that type of shit. Now I'm not. I'm thinking about deer hunting season coming up. I'm thinking about pheasant hunting season in almost full swing.
That's good. We need that break.
You need
the
break.
Get us excited again in spring.
But come the next couple weeks, my mind will be back in a big, big way. And we're going to be hitting the sim in full force. So that's why we're talking everything simulator today. One question I want to pose right away. We talk about golf hardos a lot. Me being one of them.
Yes.
But I've also gotten to a point where I don't give a shit what other people are thinking about me if I'm bringing my own clubs somewhere.
Yes.
Now, why is it okay to bring your own clubs to a simulator and not bring your own clubs to an outdoor golf entertainment like Sweet Shots or Top Golf or wherever?
I know you want this to be a segment, but I'm just going to wreck this right
now.
No,
it's just I'm just posing the question.
Because the simulator doesn't have clubs for you to use.
Yes, they do.
Where?
They're in the back behind the bar. Oh. They have bags of clubs that you can come in and rent.
You got to pay for them, though.
Yeah, you got to rent them, just like any other rental.
You don't have to pay for them at Topgolf or Sweet Shots.
That is true. And I also think part of that is because those places are more for entertainment.
Yeah.
And a good place to get some beers. Whereas if you're going to a simulator...
You can go for entertainment, there, but...
Yes, correct. You can go, go play video poker or you can play darts or wherever, but you're going there to play golf.
Mm-hmm.
And to make things as realistic as possible, you're bringing your own clubs with.
It's also at the simulator, I guess this is at Sweet Shots too. It's just so much easier to play out of someone else's bag when you're not on a real course. So like if I go to the simulator with a buddy that doesn't golf and he just wants to come to drink beers, he can play out of my bag so much easier.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Than having to like his shot's 40 yards from mine. I got to go hit my shot. Then I have to go over there with him and he's got to use my club instead of like taking a club out of his bag and walking over his ball and hitting it, like splitting the difference. So
I think a big component is like pace of play. You're not holding anybody up or you're not pushing on anyone at a Sweet Shots or a golf simulator. You know what I mean?
That's a great point. I'm not worrying about pace of play at the simulator is such an underrated benefit of it.
However, sometimes you need to be careful who you're playing with on the simulator, because if Jake, for instance, y'all know Jake because he's been a producer on the podcast, and I'll just throw his name out there right now. If you're playing on the sim with Jake, you better be ready to wait 10 to 15 minutes in between each shot whoever's farthest out keeps hitting.
Yes. And then Jake also, I don't take practice swings in regular golf, and I'm fine with people that do as long as it's not crazy. But Jake takes 4 fucking practice swings in the simulator.
Yes. Like, on average, 4 swings.
This is the place for you to not take them. You can take one. Take one. You have a 1 practice swing limit. Jake is taking so many, and especially on his chips. He's sitting there like trying to get the feel down 6, 7, 8 times.
That's part of that's going to be part of the new drinking game. So we're going to do a golf simulator drinking game. Mm-hmm. More than 1 practice swing.
Out.
A drink.
No, you're fired. Get out of here.
Okay. Well, that works too, but
that's not a drinking game anymore. Now livelihoods are on the line.
So yes, I would agree. Pace of play is not a thing on the simulator because usually, you know, you're hitting off of a perfect lie every single time.
Yep. Well, Sometimes. There was one time I had to hit off the top of a log.
But you're still hitting on the turf.
Yeah, it was like some man-made course. Oh yeah, like physically I'm hitting off a perfect lie. But in the game, I had a, like some man-made course and it rolled through a log. It was a hollowed out log.
Yeah.
And then the game put me on top of it. So my character was hitting off the log onto the green.
That's kind of sweet.
Yeah.
Practice that shot.
Yep.
You never know when you're going to be on top of a log.
Yeah. I should have had Mitch come lay down and I'd hit off the top Mitch's back. Like you pretend to be a log.
Yeah. I like that.
Sure.
You be our prop boy.
I am that.
Okay. So we're going to talk, we're going to talk about the best things about golf simulators.
Yes, we've made a list, our favorite things.
All right. In my mind, one of the best things about the simulator is no dress code.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
there's no requirement to wear a polo. Now, again, at a lot of these public courses, there is no dress code. However, when you go to even a public course, you want to throw on a polo. You want to throw on a nice pair of shorts.
I like feeling good. Like I will wear a t-shirt probably 40% of the time. But the other 60, it feels nice to throw on a cool polo, a nice comfy polo.
Well, yeah, it's like, I mean, it's a uniform.
Yeah, when the hell else do we get to wear polos casually besides like church or if you're like a banker or some shit? We're clearly not bankers.
No, God, no.
Nope.
And I mean, it's easy to say that the unofficial uniform of a golfer is shorts and a polo.
Yes.
And nah, golf shoes not even required. Shorts and polos.
Sometimes shoes not even required if you saw our barefoot golf video.
Correct, yeah. So yeah, I mean, when I go to the sim, sweatpants, joggers probably, so I'm not stepping on the bottom of my sweats. Joggers, t-shirt, hat.
And then two gloves.
And then no one glove.
Okay.
As always. However, here is the big question. What are your thoughts on wearing golf shoes to the simulator?
I feel weird about it.
When I say golf shoes, I mean like rubber nubs. You're not going to be, you know. Yeah.
I feel weird about it. I know I was on the stance of it's okay to bring your clubs to the simulator, but I think the version of bringing your clubs to Sweet Shots or Top Golf for the simulator is wearing your golf shoes to the simulator.
Okay, but golf shoes in 2022 are virtually just regular tennis shoes.
Yes, but I think it's just the stigma of this guy is the hardest of hardos in the building right now.
But, okay, I get that. I understand that. But game reps. You're trying to get game reps and you ain't just going to roll up in your sneakers.
I'm not saying it isn't beneficial. I'm saying it is the hardo move of the simulator.
I don't think it's beneficial either. If anything, your nubs are going to get caught in the turf more.
That's what
you
want.
And you're not going to be able to... Well, but it's not going to let you... you might even tear an MCL or something.
That's a powerful swing.
Because if your nub gets caught in the turf, you're not going to be allowed to turn because there's no give to the turf.
I mean... I don't know for sure about that, but I genuinely just think it is the hard-o stigma that is keeping me away from wearing my shoes in the sim.
I'm like, wearing my shoes every single time.
I know you are.
Unless I'm here. Unless I already have sneakers on and I'm here.
I have my shoes in my office right next to the simulator.
Yeah.
And I will not wear them this winter.
If I'm gearing up for an 18-hole match on the Crosplay sim here, wearing my shoes.
Just so people know, yeah, I did wear my shoes in a video, but it was for a bit, okay?
We don't need to explain that.
So they'll call me out.
They will come at you.
They will come at me.
That's fine. Let them come at you.
I'm letting them know right now.
Be your own person.
For a fucking bit, guys. I don't wear my golf shoes in the simulator.
Yeah, I'm wearing my golf shoes 95% of the time.
What if you tear an MCL?
Well, then it's time to start rehab. Because I got to get back in the sim.
Well, this golf page is going to suck if you got to rehab your MCL and I'm the only one playing.
Well, maybe then it'll get me into old man golf. Maybe I just half swing it.
Oh, you could just do what Twig did. You just
get the
little scooter thing.
Yeah, get the scooter. Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah. So yeah, for me, it's no dress code. You wear whatever you want. Wear something comfy, but also wear something athletic because the last thing you want to do is be unathletic at the golf simulator and shoot,
1,000.
Shoot 15 over with 9-foot gimmies.
Fun story. First time Mitch ever went to the simulator was with me. First time I ever golfed with Mitch.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
That was really bad.
Pretty bad. You talk about Jake taking 15 minutes between shots. I played with Sarah and Mitch at the simulator shooting some TikToks one day. And I'd tee off first because I won all the holes. Legitimately not a brag.
We're just that bad.
I teed off and I would hit, like, even if I shanked it, it would be... There was one time it was like a half hour before I fucking hit again. Because Tweedledee and Tweedledum would max out before I got to hit my next shot.
I have come a lot farther.
You have. You are head and shoulders above where you were that day.
I'm going to come. Mitch, all Mitch said was, I have come, and then he stopped his sentence after that.
No, I said, I've come a long way.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. okay. What's your favorite thing about the simulator?
This is the best thing. Low hanging fruit. The gimmies.
That's a good
just
one.
Just automatic gimmies. There's no arguing with your buddy. You can't putt it because it just auto does it. It's just, there's no stress.
Well, no, there's an argument that happens before the round starts. And the argument is, what is the most acceptable length of gimme to give at the simulator? We play 9 feet. However, I have missed a shitload of 9-foot putts in my life. So what's the most realistic, acceptable gimme to give somebody at the simulator or to give the group?
I think the lowest I will go without putting up a fit or like causing a fit.
6.
Yep. Yeah, you got it. Nailed it. 6 feet is, if you're going 3, too hard out for me. If you're going 9, that's where I want to be. Yeah. I don't want to be 12. I feel scummy at 12.
Yeah, 12. And also 12 is just like, if you have a 2-hour slot at the simulator, you're going to finish 18 an hour and a half. And then what do you do for the next half? You start another round, you hit the driving range, but 9-foot gimme extends around a little bit and you get your money's worth more.
Yeah. There are times in my life where I have 3-putted from 12 feet.
No,
it's not too often that I'm 3-putting from 9.
Yeah.
I'll 2-putt from 9 quite a bit, but I'm not going to 3-putt from 9.
I would genuinely, because once you learn how to putt in the simulator, it's not that tough.
It does, once you figure it out. But like for me, before we got the simulator in the office, I couldn't putt on a simulator to save my goddamn life.
It's tough. It is tough. So I want to play around with no gimmies.
We could. I'm down for that.
Because here's the trouble that you get yourself in when you start setting 6, 9, 12-foot gimmies is when I'm playing 9 or I've played 12-foot gimmies before and I've shot 71. I've shot under par before. However, once you get towards spring and you're playing 6, 9, 12-foot gimmies, your scores are going to be inflated on the simulator. You're going to be feeling good. You're going to be like, fuck, dude, my swing is dialed in. No, your swing's not dialed in. You're just not having to putt out the 6, 9, or 12-foot putts, which is huge.
Yep. It's half your strokes for some people.
It's half the strokes. I mean, you could even implement that into an actual golf round. Like, hey, I like to call them graveyard gimmies. Anything 6 feet and under, is that putt's good.
I like that. Everyone knows we like gimmies. We just disagree on one thing about the gimme.
Well, yeah. If you implement the graveyard gimme too, it's like you just have a tape measure or...
Well, don't bring a tape measure out or everyone will spaz about pace of play, even though it's making it faster.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. And if you got tape measure boy, like we have Mitch over here, then...
Yes, prop boy.
Or bring your wife with and have her with the run the tape measure.
Well, so I'm almost exactly 6 feet tall. I could just lay down.
True.
If it's inside me, you're good.
Pause.
Why?
Wow. No, that's something you say when someone says something like that. You say pause. Because you need to, we need to pause, and you need to understand what you just said.
I know what I said. I started laughing. All right, Mitch, you got one?
Yeah. For me, not losing my golf balls.
That's a good one.
It's not a good one. I mean, you don't even need to hit your golf balls.
Yeah.
You can literally just
simulator's got them for
you. Simulator golf balls.
Yeah.
I have a buddy, and I have talked to you about this. I want to get my buddy Adam on the podcast because I talk about him a lot. We golf a lot together, and we have got some good stories. He brings a fucking Pro V1s, and he marks them up with the dots to hit with on the simulator.
Adam, now,
if you think I'm a hardo, you should see him play.
Adam, I know you're listening.
He's not. I have to tell him every time we talk about it, I have to tell him about
it. Okay, so then I know you're listening now because Ryan's going to tell you to listen to this. Forget the shoes. That is the hardest hardo simulator move I've ever heard in my life.
He has a Sharpie in his bag, too, because he marks up all of his balls.
Yep.
One time when we took that trip up north to Giants Ridge, I asked him if I could borrow a ball from him. He would not let me. Pro V1, same marking on each one of them.
Are they at least Pro V1Xs?
No, they're just Pro V1s. And he gets them for free, too, and he wouldn't even let me borrow one.
Damn.
So
that's tough,
Adam. Man,
that's a tough.
He's playing.
Look.
He's playing
bad look.
However, it is nice for me because then I just play with a Pro V1.
Yeah, you just play with his. That's one thing that I've learned now that we've got the simulator in the office. It's crazy how beat up these balls get when you're not losing them every 6 holes.
Well, when you hit 1,000 shots with one ball,
yeah, like we're all sharing the same ball for the most part, right?
Yeah,
and it's like it blows my mind that usually like a golf ball that you have and then you're playing around with is usually pristine until you lose the fucking thing.
Yeah.
We're not losing it. And it's just getting pounded on over and over and over and over. And like you literally lose the dimples. Like
yeah, I mean, we've cracked ball. I cracked a ball during a recent video.
We are like, we're beating the dimples off these balls because we're not losing them. And it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is kind of sweet. Makes you think you swing as hard as you can. All right. Next best thing about the simulator, instant beers. Instant breakfast pizza in the morning, instant food. That's just that those are kind of honorable mentions. However, being able to practice new shots that you maybe wouldn't practice out on the course.
Because it does, it feels like the stakes are a lot less.
Big time.
Yeah.
Lot less to lose. I've become a flop shot master on the simulator.
Yep. But in real life, we have to sit there and like, do I really want to risk this?
Do I really want to risk blading one? Right off the green where there's not a whole lot of grass underneath that I can get under.
Yep.
It's a great way to practice new shots.
Yeah, I like that too. And you got to also think like it's way easier to like choose to cut something when you don't have to actually go walk over to your ball.
Correct.
Like I'm going to take this wild shot that could potentially bounce off some rocks into a fucking cliff, but I don't have to climb down there and hit it again. The simulator just puts me there.
I know. And when you can get instant beers, first thing you do, show up to the simulator, or if you're at your Carl's Place simulator at home, you get six beers rolling right away.
Yep.
You either get a bucket or you get a six pack. You put that shit out. Everyone digs in. Let's fucking start swinging, boys.
Yes. And mine piggybacks directly off of that. Beers are always flowing in the simulator. Beers are always flowing on the course. But the one thing the simulator offers that the course doesn't is a bathroom on every single hole.
Yeah.
You can always go take a leak whenever you want. And I know you people are like, you'll take a piss in the bushes on a course.
Yeah.
But you got to scout it out. Like, is there houses here? Is there another group here? You got to make sure that no one's seen your hang down when you're taking a leak in the bushes.
Yeah.
At the simulator, the bathroom's always three steps away. So if the beers are flowing and you broke the seal, instant relief.
Sometimes I forget to take my glove off when I go take a piss.
You just like one-handed then? Like you just... keep it away? Are you like awkward?
Well, I use my left hand, which is where the glove is. I use that to like keep the pants down, and then the control comes with the right hand. But
like I feel like with the glove, it's like harder to unzip your pants and undo your belt.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah. A lot more grip that you don't need to undo your belt.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. For mine, watching the football games, being able to watch like TV or a fight or. Mm-hmm. Whatever's playing on at the bar, like being able to watch that instead of like checking scores on my phone.
Yeah, I like less FOMO because you get to do both.
Yes.
See, I think, not to shoot you down, Mitch, because I'm not, but I think it's better for background noise. And if there's just like a dull moment in play, maybe just looking up at the score real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But as sweet as I think TVs would be in golf carts, as we have TVs at simulators, I don't think it's as big of a deal for me as some people would think.
I do think they need to remain exclusive. Like TV should only be at the simulator. You shouldn't have them in your cart, but I do like having them there. It is nice.
I also like watching everyone else's shots too.
Yeah.
Just being able to like, you know, if you're playing with a group of four, you each have two carts. Sometimes you don't even get to see other people's shots, but at the simulator, I mean, you're all playing in a 16 by 20 foot space.
I care way less about your shot in the simulator than I do on the course.
Really?
Like I get more, like if you hit a good shot in the simulator, I'm like, okay, cool. Good job, Ryan.
Yeah.
But if you hit a great shot on the course, I freak out for you. You've seen that happen.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care. It's weird. I just don't care as much how you're doing. I only care about how I'm doing when we're at the simulator.
Wow. How selfish
it is.
You?
Sure. It's selfish, but that's just how I feel.
Did you give a second one?
I did. Bathrooms.
I would say another best part about the simulator would be the drinking games that you can play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big time drinking game guy when it comes to the simulator, especially if everyone's on board to play. Now, if my buddy Adam's playing, I mean, if we can get him into a drinking game, he'll become competitive at it. But if it takes you got to get him to do it.
What if I got a fresh box of already marked Pro Vs for him? Would he play? Here you go.
Hey, I got this whole box for you if you play today's drinking game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because the beers are so convenient and right there in your face when you need them.
Well, and you can do shots on command too.
Shots on command.
Yeah.
That can become a really, really good afternoon.
Yeah.
What's your ideal time to go to the simulator?
Lunch.
Really?
I like middle of the day.
I'm an 8 a.m. type of guy.
Really? I mean, I like mornings for regular golf.
You guys don't want to go at like 6? 6 or 7?
No, yeah. Too busy.
PM?
Yeah.
Too busy. See, here's also the next perk of having your own sim at home. Is like if there's a spur of the moment time on a Saturday when you and your buddies are like, hey, let's go do something. Well, odds are you can't get a tee time at the simulator. Mm-hmm. So then what are you going to do? Just go to the bar?
So here's my reason for lunch. Like, I don't want to get up early to go to the simulator, but I want to have food there. So I go out right about lunchtime. You eat right away. And then by the time I'm done, it's still light out. Like, if I go in the evening, there's no way that I'm leaving that round with it still being light out, because I'm at the simulator most of the time in the winter.
Yep.
So I don't like leaving and it's just, all of a sudden I missed the entire day.
Yeah.
It's just pitch black now. That sucks to me.
I'm with you. However, 6 p.m., 7 p.m. tee time, if you can get one booked, once you get done at the simulator, I mean, you have all the options to go to a bar after that, continue the buzz, have the wives come pick you up, drop you up at the next spot.
Yeah, if that is your goal, the simulator is the best place in the world to pregame.
Because I will tell you, like an 11 a.m., a 1 p.m., maybe even a 3 p.m. tee time at the sim is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you start drinking and you get done at the simulator, you're like, well, now what do I do? Do I want to just ride this buzz out and go home and sit on the couch?
Yeah.
Or do I want to go somewhere? Well, fuck, it's only 3 p.m. You got a lot of day left.
I know. I like that, though. I like having options. I could keep it buzz going. I could. Or I could go home, take a nap. It's completely up to me. I just don't like being pigeonholed into, all right, it's dark now. I either need to go to sleep right now for the rest of the night or go downtown and drink.
I like that.
I do too. Mm. I also get to golf at night, which you don't normally get to do either.
Yeah,
that's true. It's a good point. Good argument for that.
They should have Glow Ball League.
Just turn all the lights off.
I'm kidding. However, like the downfall of the 8 a.m. tee time, which I'm all about. The best thing about it is the breakfast pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Throw a breakfast pizza in the pizza cooker. You're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's also coffee hour. So they're not serving booze till like 10 or 11. You got all the old guys there just meeting up for coffee.
You get Irish coffee.
You could get Irish coffee.
That's the right bartender.
However, it's kind of fun golfing with the morning coffee crew.
The old guys are sweet. You're right.
Yeah. And they're not heading over to Burger King for coffee hour. They're heading to the golf simulator and they're reliving the old days.
We got to start letting old guys in the morning here to play in the simulator.
Yeah.
They'll be gone before Miles gets here anyway.
Everyone's grandpas.
Yeah.
We got $30 an hour coffee hour over at the bunker.
Unlimited coffee.
Yeah.
You pay $30 to play. You get into from 8 to 10. $30, unlimited coffee, unlimited golf.
Fuck, that sounds
nice. I mean, no one's really here till 9:30 anyways.
Yeah, well. Just you.
Just you, Mitch.
Okay.
I was late today. You're right.
I think another really good thing about the simulator is if needed, you can bring the kids with.
Yep.
You can make it a fun day. You can drink some Diet Cokes, drink a couple waters, whatever.
Yeah.
Bring the kids with. Let them fuck around in the simulator for a while.
Do that mostly at private ones. I wouldn't bring my kids to like the simulator with like 7 bays.
No, I wouldn't either.
I don't want them fucking with anyone else's round but my own.
Yeah, that's true. It's definitely not a daycare, but if you need to get that swing dialed and the wife is out of town, you can bring the kids with to the sim.
So. My next favorite, it's obvious, climate control.
Yep.
Negative 45 outside, not inside the simulator. Yeah. It rainy and cold and shitty, not in the simulator.
Tell you what, there wouldn't be a better time for all the roads in town to get shut down
than until when you're at the simulator. Yeah, just get stuck there.
That would be elite.
Yeah, and you just like tell the bartender, like, I would love to keep playing, but I can't keep paying.
Yeah,
like,
that and I can't get home.
Like, none of us can get home. Can you just make it free?
I'm out of gas in my truck. The rest of this $45, I can't spend it on another hour.
Yeah,
I have to put gas in my truck for my kids.
And if you make me leave, like, there's a chance I could get an accident. Do you want that on your conscience?
Yeah, I could get stuck.
Tripping the bartender?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to be there anyways.
Yeah, like, I mean, what are we going to do? You versus me. I win. I get to stay all day.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Four-man scrambles at a simulator are also elite.
Yeah, I've played in one.
Camaraderie is to a next level. Mm-hmm. And then you're kind of, peeking over other people's scores and seeing what's going on over
there. Yeah, the whole yelling after a bad shot is taken to the next level at the simulator because they're 6 feet from you.
Yep. However, it is really hard to hit a bad shot in a simulator because unless you're shanking.
Yep.
I've managed to do it.
Oh, yeah.
If you're shanking, then it's tough, but.
Because like sometimes your shot could be so bad it doesn't read.
Yeah.
And then you're saved.
Then you're, oh my God, there's no better feeling than not reading a bad shot.
Yep.
Or it doesn't read a good shot and then you hit a bad shot.
Most of the time, it does read the good shots, though, because the reason the bad shots don't read is because your club's all fucked up and it, like, it doesn't notice how much you topped that ball or it came off the hosel completely, so it didn't even read the club face hitting the ball.
Yep.
So most of the times it reads the good ones because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
I would say it's like 90%, more than that, 98% of your good shots are getting read, and your really shitty shots, 80% of those aren't getting read, which is sweet.
Agreed. So there's a lot of benefits to going to the sim. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of benefits to having your own, saving money, basically a playground for your kids to play in.
Yes.
Put your clubs away. We don't want those getting ruined.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we're excited. I mean, we're sad the golf season's over, but we're excited that simulator season is upon us. And yeah, we got to get downstairs. We got to play some 18 holes and we got to have ourselves a day.
You want to go do that right now?
Might as well.
Okay.
Guys, thanks again for listening to episode 109. We'll be back next week, episode 110. Hope you guys all enjoyed it. Again, if you can do us a huge solid, send the pod to your buddies. I know, get in the group chat, drop the link. We would really appreciate it. And yeah, thanks for tuning in. Bye.
Hell, that's a breakfast ball.